This article is brought to you by the best-selling book See Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. Mailmer vs. Makuni, a crisis communication masterclass. When lawyers do the talking, a crisis communication breakdown. What happened? EFF leader Julius Mailmer sent lawyers after activist and former radio presenter Njizwi Makuni, demanding R1 million in damages plus a public apology. The trigger. Makuni's claim that Mailmer received R60 million from Nigerian drug dealers. Mailmer's legal team wants the allegation retracted and compensated. The clock is ticking on Makuni's response. The communication angle. Let's start with what Mailmer actually did here, because most people will miss it. He did not go on television. He did not post a furious thread. He did not call a press conference. He sent lawyers. That is a deliberate communication choice, and it is the right one. When someone accuses you of taking R60 million from drug dealers, your instinct is to shout back. That instinct will destroy you. Shouting back puts you in a debate. Debates have two sides. Two sides means the accusation gets repeated, amplified, and treated as a legitimate point of discussion. Mailmer refused to play that game. A formal legal demand does not argue. It asserts. It says this is false. Here is the consequence. Decide quickly. That framing gives Makuni one real choice: respond or face a courtroom. The R1 million figure is not just about money. It is a calibration tool. It is specific enough to signal seriousness, but not so astronomical that it looks like a revenge fantasy. The demand for a public apology is smarter still. An apology forces Makuni to say, in his own voice, that he was wrong. That is worth more than any financial settlement. It closes the narrative loop in Mailmer's favour, not the court's. Now look at Makuni's position. He made a massive, specific, criminal-sounding claim in public. He either has evidence or he does not. If he does not, his only real communication move now is to apologise fast and loudly before this reaches a judge. Dragging it out only extends the story and compounds the damage to his own credibility. Silence is not neutral here. Every day he waits, he looks less like a truth-teller and more like someone who got caught. The deeper lesson is about the architecture of a denial. Most public figures deny allegations badly. They get emotional, they over-explain, and they accidentally keep the story alive for days. Mailmer's approach is clean: one formal move, a clear demand, a deadline, and then silence. That structure forces the other party to react. You stop being the accused and start being the one holding the pressure. This is exactly the kind of scenario I break down in Say It Right Every Time. The chapter on responding under attack gives your framework for separating your emotional reaction from your strategic response. Those two things have to travel on different tracks, because the moment they merge, you lose control of the message and hand it to the person who attacked you in the first place. The takeaway. The next time someone makes a false public claim about you, write down exactly two things before you respond: the one specific outcome you need, a retraction, an apology, a correction, and the format in which you need it delivered publicly, in writing, within 48 hours. Then communicate only those two things, nothing else. No explanation of why you are hurt, no rehashing of the facts. Clarity is the weapon. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit eamonblackthorne.com to get your copy.